Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed. Sis Lulu, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Zama. Good afternoon to our listeners. A beautiful, beautiful day. We're in spring. We are alive. We are healthy. We're thankful to God.
Oh, yes. Spring is in the air. I love the sound of that. Thank you so much for joining us once again. Last week, we're listening to you, just giving an introduction of what to expect in this series. And so today, we are going to be having the very first topic. And those who are joining us for the first time in this series, Lulu Ndlovu, is going to be talking to us about relationships. So please do take us through the relationship lesson for today, says Lulu.
Thank you very much, Zama. So one thing that I think is very important that I also mentioned last time, Zama, was the fact that you get to live in this house. I feel like that is the most important lesson that people need to understand.
Yeah.
You want to build a good relationship because you are going to live here. But it's not just going to be you. Your kids are going to live here. Imagine if you are building in a very lazy, reckless manner. When the roof is leaking, when the foundation is shifting. Now, not just you is going to be affected, but your kids too. That is why I say we need to sit up and listen and be intentional. So for me, getting to live in the house, understanding that, it simply means I need to be intentional. Intentionality about what is it that I'm building.
All right. So, please take us through then the steps building the house, because you're going to live in it and be intentional. Please do take us through.
Okay, great. So when we say that you live in this house, we simply mean build with intentionality. Now, building with intentionality is you need to understand how do relationships work. It's like if you're going to build a double story or a triple story, you know that the specifications are going to be different. One thing that I've observed as a psychologist and also as a person who deals with couples is the fact that sometimes we don't even know what is it that you are building. We don't even, is it a top story? Is it a top story? What exactly are we trying to do here? So for me, the first thing is an understanding of exactly how do relationships work. How did you get here? Which is why today I felt like it's important for us to understand that we are relational beings. That is the most important thing, to understand that we are wired for connection. You are born in relationships. And we are also wounded in relationships. So if you can understand that, you're going to understand then what is the purpose of the relationship that you are in. I mean, think about it. Think about Adam. God looks at Adam. No helper is found for him. No helper is found comparable to him. And then God looks at him and says, you know what? It's not good that man should be alone. So I'm going to build him a helper. So already you've got almost like God is creating this intentionality, He is not just creating for the sake of creating. He's creating with intentionality, which is why I'm like, everyone who gets into a relationship, then we need to be intentional. And secondly, we need to understand then how do relationships work. So one thing that I want us to learn today that is quite significant is that we are relational beings from the time a child is born. Even before the child is born, during a conception, it matters, the relationship between the child and the mother, even while the child is in utero. The child can get healthier from the vibe that the child gets from the mother. It's not just the baby feeding from the mother, only physically, emotionally as well, which is why sometimes kids are born even compromised to a certain extent. I mean, you can imagine if you're a child of a teenager, a child of a child. But I mean, what are you feeding off? The child is rejected, abandoned. I'm talking about the child who's a mother now. No support. Sometimes the society is ostracizing the person. The parents are angry. And more often than not, this child's mother is also a victim of maybe incest or rape. So the child who is in the mommy's uterus is already compromised. So relations matters right from the beginning. That is why we always say in Malcolm, we are born in relationships, but you're also wounded in relationships. So it means, therefore, right from the time the child is in the mother's uterus and then the child gets to be born, let's think about it, Zama. When a child is born, do we celebrate and embrace? Are we excited? Is the family coming together to celebrate? If yes, then already you can tell that that child, the chances are, the child is going to be more wholesome. The child is going to be like almost like a sense of wholeness. is going to be built at the core of the child, because I'm here, I cry, somebody responds, I yawn, somebody's here, I'm mourning, somebody's shushing me. Look at that relationship template that is being built. I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm worthy. So imagine now when you're older, when you get married to someone, you don't have an understanding of all these patterns and all these templates later in life. But it matters how the child was incubated, how the child was conceived, how the child was celebrated. That primary relationship, it is when these relational templates are formed. So that later you meet someone, you wonder, why are they so moody? Why are they so cold? Why are they, you know, they are up and down. One moment they are laughing, the other moment they are cold. Why are they so anxious? You need to understand that it's a relational pattern that was formed in a certain context. For an example, a child who's born into a teenage mother, most of the time there's no playful moments, there's no love. The child sometimes is not even celebrated and embraced. Sometimes the baby dad is not even in the picture. So can you imagine seeing that child, a child who feels like, I'm an inconvenience, actually. I'm unwanted here. The mother does not have to say you're unwanted. But the way the mother relates to the child is exactly what is going to communicate. Or a little baby who's born to a mother who's depressed, the mother is there physically, but not responsive. The mother is not emotionally connected to the child. So can you see how, when you say you're born and wounded, it means, yes, you're born into the relationship, but sometimes the relationship itself is going to be the source of your pain. So that later in life, here you are, Zama, you meet this beautiful, well-dressed young woman, doing Sabbath school, makeup on fleek, beautiful, gorgeous. And you look at the externals, you're like, wow, wow, there goes an angel. Well, it depends, really. Once you take the angel home, you're going to discover then that I, man, it's not what I thought it actually was. Until you can then peel off and go back what happened to this child. Born in a relationship, but also the wounding happened in a relationship. But what is exciting is, also the healing can occur again within the context of the relationship.
Now, you know, what you're mentioning is quite interesting, because I'm hearing you to be saying that, you know, when a child is born, in fact, you're saying that as human beings, we're relational, and therefore those relationships are literally formed as soon as a person arrives on earth. And those relationships then determine how the person turns out to be as they relate to other people. So which means that this particular human being will relate to other people the way they were related to as they were, you know, growing up, and they were nurtured growing up into an adult, correct?
That's a beautiful way of putting it, Zama. We love as we're loved, we receive as we're received, we celebrate as we're celebrated, we accept as we're accepted. In fact, it is other people who model these behaviors for us. And this happens long before we can even language it, you can even conceptualize it. We always say these experiences are written as bodily sensations. You don't even have to tell a child that here you are not wanted. Just by how you are receiving the child, just by the energy that is flowing within the space. So this is how we learn these relational patterns. And then when you grow up, other people meet us not understanding that we are externally a body. However, we have got an internal world. And that internal world, which is what you bring most of the time into building the relationship now, is what is going to determine whether the relationship is going to thrive, there's going to be energy and connection, or whether it is going to be stormy, it's going to be like there's going to be a whirlwind, there's going to be an earthquake all the time. And the other person, unfortunately, not understanding that this person is just acting out an adaptation. They're just acting out. It's just an acting out. If you can peel off the layers and find out, Iman, deep down, they say, I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. I want to belong. Help me. Help me draw out the real me. The me is hiding somewhere beneath all this chaos. I am there. Which is where the beauty of a relationship then can come.
I see. Now, you're saying that these people, you can either be made whole in a relationship or you can be injured in a relationship. Now, this person who is relational goes out and to have relationships with other human beings. And we say in my language that now this pattern, this relational pattern has been formed and the person is now an adult. Is it reversible?
Oh, yes, it is. That is the beauty of God creating the brain, Zama, because the brain is what is called malleable. Mm. It's neuroplastic, which means it can be formed and reformed. The brain is always being formed and adapting itself according to the experiences. So here you are, never having been loved, you're rejected, you're abandoned. And then you go to a primary school, you meet a teacher who is saying, you are the teacher's favorite, you've got playmates, you've got people celebrate too. You do well in academia, you're celebrated in sports. Now to see how your brain now is going to be rewired already to be like, okay, wow, I met her. I can do something beautiful. Here are people appreciating me. I can be validated. Mm. We call these correctional emotional experiences.
I see.
They happen everywhere in social relationships, with friends, in the church community, all these other people. Even if I did not have the neural pathways of being loved, but once I can come into contact with a summer school teacher who's going to celebrate me, as they see who has come to summer school, someone is making my name, someone is excited, I met her. Already the brain is going to begin to make more neural pathways. Now, of, you know what? Actually, there is an opposing view that says you actually could better. Say that over and over again, and the brain is going to start opening a freeway, you know, literally, where I'm worthy, I belong, I am loved. I'm not a burden. I'm not an inconvenience.
Now, you're talking about relationships and relationships about building, depending, you got to decide which type of house that you want to build, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, we do know that, but there are extroverted people, introverted people, people who just prefer sitting by themselves and being by themselves alone, et cetera. And the people who want to just have relationships and be out there. But do people who are introverted still want to be with people around them, have relationships, or should people who are extroverted keep those relationships going without any care of who is introverted or extroverted, or does that matter at all?
It does matter, Sam. It does. We all of us are wired for connection. However, there are times when connection was so painful and it was so hurtful that we kind of like want to cringe and hide like a turtle. So we just want to pick out our head a bit and then want to disappear. So some people, those who are introverted, yes, they want to relate. However, they seek more from the silence, from that connection. And some of them, that is where they draw their strength. That is where they get energized. That's from taking the time out. Whereas with the extroverted people, they want to be out there. In fact, you'll be surprised about to find out that people who are extroverted, some of them is because they are afraid of the silence, because silence is going to resurrect all these other monsters that they've got in them. So it's better to be out there and be loud and appear like everything is going well. You've seen people who were happy, who felt like everything was going well with them. And then the next time you hear, they committed suicide. You wonder, but they were so happy.
Yeah,
they were so cheerful. So even that can be an adaptation where you really, really are not authentic. That's not the real you.
I see.
So both ways can be good. However, depending on, is it because we are trying to hide something, or is it because this is where I feel like I'm at peace, this is where I draw my strength, this is where I can reflect, this is where I can dream, this is where I can be creative, as opposed to I'm hiding because the world does not accept me, because the world is cruel, the world is harsh, the world does not see me.
It speaks to a personality trait, if I can hear it, if I hear you very well. But does this alter as, a person goes through different stages of life, teenagehood, middle age, and perhaps late age, etc., or one follows a particular character trait for the rest of their lives?
They won't accept when it becomes a personality disorder. Personality disorders are more fixed patterns now that are maladaptive. However, with the personality traits, they can be altered depending on the environment we are faced with. So depending on the people we are allowing into our spaces. I mean, think about me as a teenager, low self-esteem. You'd not find me speaking to anyone anywhere. But that was born out of trying to hide because I was feeling inadequate, insecure. I was a late bloomer, not loved. No appreciation, no validation, no affirmation. However, take me to university and let someone notice me. Let me make a point in summer school. Someone says, oh, you're right. Oh, that is powerful. Give me an opportunity to do something. To see how now already my brain is now going to again adapt itself because I'm given now a new experience. experience. I'm meeting new people now who are actually saying, ah, she makes sense, actually. Mm. Wow, she can talk some sense. I mean, people who knew me in high school would be shocked if they saw this version of me. That just shows that the brain is neuroplastic.
Yeah.
Give me enough experiences of beauty, and I'm going to surprise you. Mm. So all these adaptations can sometimes appear like they are wired deep down. Not really. With corrective experiences, we can adjust and adapt. But I did say, though, except when it's personality disorders, it becomes more it's more like of a fixed now, fixated ideas that we have about who we are and what the world is like, and then how we respond to the world.
Mm, lovely. Before I let you go then, Sis Lulu, we've heard, reports and stories about people dying alone. They call it a lonely death, where they're not surrounded by any loved ones and they just died there alone and with no one caring. And yet you're saying, as human beings, we are relational. What would be causing this then? Because it should not occur then in this world.
No, it should not occur. It should not occur, Zama. However, do you know that how sometimes the traumas that the people have experienced in the hands of people can sometimes become so entrenched that they can no longer receive and accept the sweet milk of kindness, At one time, we worked in an orphanage with my husband in some other town in KZN. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting how with the children were picked up from the street, it became so hard for them to adapt to order and rules and principles and cleanliness. It's like they could not stomach that. They were used to anxiety and freedom and dead and digging from the bins, So with God, all things are possible. However, there are some people who, because of their deep-seated traumas, it's so hard to dig beneath the rubble and get to that person who's deep down there. Of course, with God, these things are possible. However, no one, I can promise you, Zama, no one wants to be alone. No one in the whole world, except if being with people has become so painful that they just can't bear to face the world.
Yeah, quite painful indeed. Well, Sis Lulu, your closing remark then for today's lesson?
Oh, my closing remark is that there is hope for all of us. There is hope for all of us. If we can open ourselves to the love that is around, if we can embrace the people around, we should know that every day we are becoming somebody different. And more than anything, there is hope from this healing relationship with Christ. Because when you've got Christ, then everything is sorted out, because he thinks you are to die for. So human beings can fail you here, but not the one who created you. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. So embrace that love.
Beautiful. Well, Nokanyo Lulu Ndlovu is a psychologist who has joined us this afternoon. Sis Lulu, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Zama. Thank you to the listeners. I'll see you again next time.
Next week, Tuesday, same time and next same place.
Yes, thanks, Zama. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon.
Blessings. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.